back to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show as we go national. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. Seen across the all Sportsnet.
Great to be not talking about the Leafs this hour. Looking forward to that.
This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Brian Lawton. And, yeah, we'll...
Oh, come on.
Like to spread it around the league. But I think...
More Leafs.
I think the Leafs going from penthouse to outhouse is a pretty big story.
But that was world record. They hit terminal velocity off the CN Tower from top to bottom.
We've given the Edmonton Oilers plenty of time as well about their slow start as well. So I think it's only fair that we figure a few things out maybe with Brian Lawton in a few minutes.
If there's anything that our Vancouver and Calgary markets would love to hear, it's a bunch of Toronto guys panicking about the Leafs eight games in.
Misery.
Peeing down their own leg.
Oh, yeah. They love
it. Listen, if I know my friends out in Vancouver and Calgary, they love it.
This is the red meat. Oh, yeah. The Ottawa Senators, second in the Atlantic Division right now.
We'll take some text messages as well at text 590-590.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
You did.
Text us, 590-590. We've already got a million unsolicited texts about the Leafs mostly, so text us some non-Leaf stuff so we can do that in the back half of the hour too.
Are the Sens for real?
Yeah.
They can score some goals.
Has Ullmark played yet?
Do they need him?
Oh, he just came
eventually. They gave him a lot of money. Yeah.
I would hope they need him.
You know, it's good. And I don't know if where we are on Boston and Toronto in that Atlantic division, because alongside Tampa, I think we've kind of waited.
Look at this division. What a mess.
Toronto.
Oh, my God. I haven't looked at that yet.
Toronto, Boston, and the Leafs have owned this division.
Mm-hmm. Tampa, Boston.
Tampa, Boston.
And when does one of them fall off? Are we actually seeing?
This is the year for sure.
Is this the year Boston falls off? Or because they didn't treat free agency like they were ready to drop off.
No, they've got a pretty nice roster, a very good decor, a very good goaltender. There's no reason they should be bad. I don't think they're bad.
But you know what, playoff team. You know what they look to me? Slow.
Yeah. That's troublesome.
And Lindholm's a good player. I don't know if, you know, our Calgary fans feel the same way, but you expect more out of him, more consistent. There's some nights when it just doesn't look like he has it.
You know, it's funny because I mentioned their decor is good. Hemps, Lindholm, McAvoy, Zadorov, Carlo, Witherspoon, Peak. But up front, it's pretty damn thin. I know they have that one line that's doing pretty good, but, you know, Zaka and Poitras.
I was watching the Stars and Bruins as a flick back option with the Toronto Maple Leafs in those commercials and intermissions or whatever. Dallas is just way better. Like bigger, faster, more good players. Like, I know Dallas is one of the premier teams in the league, but Boston kind of fancies himself as that, I think.
Yep.
And there was just absolutely no comparison, in my opinion, between those two teams. So maybe this is the year maybe they suck for once. That'd be great. Oh, my God, wouldn't that make me happy?
I don't think that's happening.
But you don't think so?
Well, I think they might be average.
Like, looking for a playoff spot, kind of, yeah. Okay.
Concerns on Brad Marchand?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I have noticed a bit of a decline in his game, I would say, the last year or two. And the fact that he has 0 goals through 8 games, which is the longest streak to start his career. He has 1 year, he went 9 games. So he's almost there. It's definitely a concern. Top line with him, Lindholm, and Pasternak, not been good. Pasternak, actually, I want to say he has 7 minor penalties through 8 games. So he's spending a lot of time in the penalty box, which is not great. So the concerns are real for that top line, for sure.
So what do we get out of the Edmonton Oilers and their power play? We spoke in our first Leaf Edition hour about a struggling power play in Toronto, and yet it just seems like they're going to go to the well again with the same guys, whereas Knobloch went a little different on his approach, at least going into tonight.
But you know, you sort of implied this in the first hour that, like, okay, give it a sec. We'll see how long it takes till everyone's back there. I don't think it'll be long.
Okay, let's welcome in former general manager, president of the Tampa Bay Lightning, analyst, does it all, agent Brian Lawton. Lots, how are you, pal? Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Kipper. Always happy to be on with both of you. Fine, gentlemen. So
beautiful view, Lots. Woo!
I want to get into Lots. I want to get into power plays and struggling ones, including Edmonton, including Toronto. We had Adam Oates, one of the best passers, one of the best power play guys in the history of the game. And he says, really, in his world, there isn't a number two power play. It is a number one with your guys, and that's basically it. Where are you on what a coach can do? Is, in your world, is there a one and two power play?
Not really. I think Adam is closer to correct on that than anybody would ever imagine. Of course, when I played, I essentially was a number two power play guy. Certainly when I started out with the North Stars, a little bit more number one when I was playing with an expansion team in the San Jose Sharks. But there was definitely two power plays at that time. In today's world, we've just evolved. And the reality is that the top guys on most teams are eating up 80% of the power play, especially if we're talking about a Toronto or even more specifically in Edmonton, where the numbers back that up all year long. They do use another power play, but generally the game would have to be out of hand one way or the other. The interesting thing is that in Edmonton, you know, we have seen some changing of that power play. Zach Hyman just has been really cold. For him, he was super hot last year with 54 goals. It happens. The coach still has to have a way to create a level of accountability. And in Edmonton, for instance, there's three guys. They're just not going to take off the power player. It's going to take a lot. Obviously, it's McDavid, Dreisaitl, and Bouchard. After that, they can nibble around the edges if they have to. But I agree, the really good teams, the top power plays, they are morphing down to just one unit.
So how do you get a team with a ton of awesome players all on the ice at the same time, more humans on the ice than the other team, and be ineffective? The Leafs have done it. The Oilers did it for a stretch. Last year's Pittsburgh Penguins had four Hall of Famers and couldn't score a power play goal. How does that come to be?
There's a lot of things that go into that. Players do get stale. But if you look at those great power plays, the thing or the strength that I always felt Edmonton had is they literally could play their guys in any position, right? They had the ultimate power play, in my opinion, in terms of consistency. And some power plays run hotter and colder than others, but very few are like the Montreal Canadiens when Guy Lafleur was playing and when he hopped over the boards late in the game, regardless of if they were 0 for 5 at that stage or 4 for 5, you knew they were going to score. The really great power plays have that, not just to score, but the ability to score when it really matters. I consider Edmonton and Toronto at times in that category. So how does it go cold? There is an element of luck. Everybody knows that, particularly the people that really follow in analytics. But other than that, there's so many things that really can nibble on how it's going overall. Some of that is, you know, just a player's competitiveness, his Tiger Woods-esque thoughts about when you get somebody down, you know, you really jump on them and finish them.
Tonight,
there's a lot, to unpack.
Tonight we'll see Sid versus Connor, and no question that you nibble around those guys. There's struggling hockey clubs respectively, but it's still selective television to watch Sidney Crosby and McDavid. I thought McDavid's answer on who should be the Team Canada captain was perfect.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing he didn't say was, what are you, an idiot?
Sid.
Yeah. As the captain. But, you know, is it safe to say when Sid signed a 2-year contract earlier this year that it was knowing full well that there could be issues on ever making the playoffs in the next year or two, and I'm okay with that?
Well, I mean, there's nobody more well-versed on what's going on around them than Sid, so I would find it incomprehensible that he looked at the club and he didn't think that. It's actually a little bit strange if you look at their start, because Malkin has played really well. And Sid knows what he's going to do, and yet they've struggled. Goaltending's been a problem. They're not necessarily struggling for me. When I look at their team, it's kind of where I expected them to be. Notwithstanding, I didn't see Malkin coming out of the gate like this. So the surprising thing is that they are where they are, and they're getting this great performance from him. And it's still not enough to elevate them. Now, they're a game under 500. They by no means are out of it. But as you approach the 10-game mark and you get a chance to see what people have on a nightly basis, you can start to form some pretty strong opinions that'll hold through for the majority of the year. And for me, Pittsburgh is kind of what they are right now. If you're 500 in the NHL, you're almost always between 20th and 24th in the league. And as we know, that's not good enough to be a playoff team.
Right. We're going to kind of bounce around a little bit. One of the pieces of news in the NHL today is Alexis Lafreniere signed a contract, 7 years times $7.5 million, roughly. What were your thoughts on that deal?
Not surprised. It's definitely the trend. It's somewhat interesting because Kako has not been able to maybe show the progress that Lafreniere has. They both struggled early on in their careers. Not surprising. They're young players. I think they're both good players, but Alexi's been able to prove that we feel good enough, at least we being the New York Rangers, that we're ready to pay this guy some significant money, and we even think there's a chance that we could prevent him from getting away from us in the future. So they make that move where they don't make it with their second overall pick the year before him. So, you know, this is just clubs taking care of business. Chris Drury and his staff, they're asked, like many of the GMs in the league, to make these tough calls. And if you're right and you get enough of them right, and the Rangers have a lot of guys that are playing under market, and they have for quite a while, but now we're starting to see that flip over with a guy like Shesterkin. Panarin is what Panarin is. They've got Shabinejad done. Chris Kreider is a fair price deal. Now you've got these young studs. You've got Keandre Miller. Obviously, they'll have to figure something out long-term. Adam Fox, they have. This is just the life of managing a club and the dynamic of being, you know, like the Rangers, who are, in my opinion, a very good team, but haven't gotten over the hump in the playoffs. These are just all the vagrancies you have to deal with on a weekly, monthly and yearly basis in managing the club.
Well, it's the first thing I thought of was that this is going to be a bargain for the New York Rangers in a very short period of time. And we've seen a lot of guys, a lot of young players now coming in and signing these types of contract, Quentin Byfield, Seth Jarvis. And I get it, man. They're waving $50, $60 million at you, but maybe Lafreniere in 2 or 3 years is a $10 million player or $12 million player.
Maybe at the end of the season he is.
It's a really, really tough call, and the clubs do a great job of reminding you that it's $50 million. But, you know, I don't know. Is Hughes in New Jersey thinking, I jumped the gun too early here?
You should think
with
that.
His?
Yeah, the question is, should he be? And the answer is absolutely not. You know, Kipper, you're a parent. I'm a parent. I have kids around the ages of these players we're talking about. And ultimately, from a psychology standpoint, you never begrudge players for that. They haven't, you know, really rung the bell. So when you give them a chance to make $50 million and they're looking at the grand scheme of their lives, players take it 99% of the time. Jack Hughes at 8.25, you know, he struggled for a couple of years. Again, not uncommon. Jack needed to get a little stronger, a little more mature, understand the league. He very quickly overcame that, but it probably felt like an eternity for the New Jersey Devils when he was going through that. And then he comes along, he gets over the hump. He proves that he's not just able to play. He proves that he's got durability, because that was in question early on with him. And somebody offers him 8 times 8.25, and they jump on it. I often wonder why clubs lose faith in what they're doing, because in the end, you're going to win that battle 99% of the time.
It's just so many years, and you don't play for that many, you know? Like, if this guy is a Hart Trophy guy, guys are getting $14 million now, you know? It's, what would Leon get? Was
it, 14.
Yeah, like, how far off Leon's he going to be in 2 minutes?
Behind,
but...
Just on that, yeah. Like, is Kaprizov up in Minnesota this summer? Mm-hmm. Is he eligible?
He is.
Yes.
He's 27. He scores 50.
He's eligible to sign on July 1st. He has another year left.
Okay.
We'll have to check that, because all the stats I'm quoting you just by memory. I'm not looking at anything.
But
I believe Kirill.
Could he make an argument?
July 1st.
Could he make an argument to be in the vicinity of a Leon Draisaitl at 12?
Yeah, I'm certain he will.
He's off to a heck of a start.
He's a heck of a player. He's done it since he got here. He started when he was later, but he really does make that team go. I don't envy Billy Guerin for having to, you know, get that one done. And ultimately, if you haven't done your job of accommodating these players and making sure they know how the organization feels about them, you have no chance for guys that are more transient. And what I mean by that is that there are certain individuals, and sometimes we even, you know, stereotype players, that they're, you know, more likely to move. Russian players, in my humble opinion, tend to be in that category. And you hear the same things. They love Florida and they love New York. So do you have to pay a premium to keep them is the question. I don't think you do if you communicate with your players and you treat them the exact opposite of how Nick Kyprios was treated when he was a player.
Kaprizov has this year and next at $9 million.
Yeah. His goal and point totals, 47 goals, 40 goals, yeah. 46 goals, 108 points, yeah. 96 points. Like,
that's a $12 million player.
At least, yeah.
Right.
Well, let's see what happens with Rantanen, and that's an interesting case right now in Colorado, because he's not signed, and he could have been, right?
He could have been, is that what you said? Signed.
Yeah, he could have been at the start of the year. He could have been as of July 1st, and he's not re-signed, and conversations have been fairly light there.
What do you think his number, what's fair for him?
I think he's in the category with the players we're talking about right here, between Kaprizov and Draisaitl. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you would take, you know, the interesting thing about Mikko is that you ask all different groups of people, and some people love analytics, but when I ask coaches about him and everything, really certainly for the fans and the media, everything in Colorado starts and ends with Nathan MacKinnon. You'd be surprised how many coaches say that guy's killed us. He's absolutely annihilated us. And we don't even really do enough prep for him. That's the story for a long time on him. That's changing now as teams are recognizing that's a dynamic duo between those two.
There's some value Alok's being behind MacKinnon, though, for him, like kind of sneaking under the radar a bit. Like, that could be part of the reason he's doing as well as he is, right? Like, when you have a great hitter ahead of you in the batting order, it helps. Or behind you, sorry.
Yes. It's always a slippery slope on that, because you have guys that have gone on and proven who they are. I would say Panarin, you know, got a little bit of that label when you had Taves and Kane. Oh, he's playing with great players. He went to Columbus. He still did well. He's in New York. He's doing well. Mm-hmm. There's always that argument. And believe me, those are the first things you say if you're the GM there. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's got MacKinnon. He's not really that good. He's really good. Mikko Rantanen is really an elite player.
Ooh,
last 2 years, 55 goals and 105 points, yep. 42 goals, 104 points, and he's a large human.
Lots.
And he is a large human, exactly.
Thursday
he's
night.
Got everything.
Thursday night, we saw the Flames lose their first regulation game, and what a start in a nutshell. And is there enough of a sample size here to say, why wouldn't they be able to hang in there and keep Calgary Flame fans interested in a potential playoff spot? Or is it just too early?
For me, it's just too early, and I don't mean that disrespectfully to the Flames. Nobody expected this. I think they've been one of the incredible, bright stories early on. I'm a skeptic, but not because I don't like what they're doing. I think Craig Conroy is doing a great job. I think they're injecting young players much quicker than a lot of other people that have tried to do what they're trying to do right now. And I compliment them on that because they haven't been afraid to make some moves, to let go a star goalie, to let go, you know, a winger where you try to be flat with Tkachuk and you bring in Huberto and Mackenzie Weegar. But those aren't easy deals to do. So they've been through a lot. I think they're in a really good place. Right now, if you gave me even money, I would say they will not make the playoffs, but they will have a much better season than I was thinking they would before it started. No doubt. They'll be right there knocking on the door, Kipper, to your comment, and they will keep the fans very interested and start to build a lot of pride in this group because I think they're moving in the right direction. I just don't believe this is what you're going to see at the end of the year when we add it all up in terms of their standing right now.
Yeah. You know, lots, we do a lot of talking about Canadian teams and where they slot in. Another sort of like fringe playoff-y team for some people, the Ottawa Senators. We're waiting to see if they can take a step and actually get in. It looks like the Bruins might struggle a bit. There's some early signs that there might be room in the Atlantic. They get Ullmark. Is there enough on that Ottawa Senators roster for you to say that, yes, they're ready to go from, you know, they're getting better to actually a playoff team?
Still undetermined for me. Their slow start was a little spooky, but they've turned it around. I'm sure they would tell you it's just a little, you know, a little bump on the way to making it to the playoffs, and that very well could be it. They will compete for a playoff spot much stronger than they have in the past. They could get in. They might not get in. Either way, I think the future is bright for them when you really look at the young players that they have. And Steve Staios is doing a nice job. He's had to navigate some difficult challenges thus far, and I think he's doing that. Ullmark was really a godsend for them. They needed that particular piece. Brady Tkachuk is a real deal. Tim Stützle, you know, he's been a little bit up and down for a guy that has the skill level that he does, that scored as much as he has. People seem to want a little bit more. We could say that about a lot of other great or gifted offensive players. Sometimes it just takes them time to realize that, you know what, if I get 80 points and we don't make the playoffs every year, doesn't really make my life better. Whereas if I get the same or less and we're a dynamic team in the league, then the world looks a lot better for a young player like him. I think Tim's all in. He's a great kid. And I think they got a hell of a good one there. So I'm bullish on Ottawa, but doesn't mean they'll make the playoffs. The East is a beast. A lot of these teams are just hanging around. Washington, they got a little bit of a resurgence. Tampa's had a little bit of resurgence after moving Stamkos, but bringing McDonough back. So it's just too early to make those types of calls now, in my opinion.
Lots, only one team stands as undefeated, and that's the Winnipeg Jets. Tomorrow night on Hockey Night in Canada, they'll go against Calgary. And then Monday, it'll be Toronto, followed by Detroit next Wednesday. Like, how far can this thing go? Can they knock on the door of the Leafs? I think in 93-94 they went 10-0 to jump out of the gate.
Winnipeg is such an interesting team. We don't give them nearly enough time. You guys in Canada who want to talk about Canadian teams 7 days a week don't give them what they deserve because they've done it for a while now. And last year, I felt like they were somewhat discounted. So, yeah, you got to tip your cap to Kevin Cheveldayoff. Changing coaches this year, it looked like that could be something that, you know, created a downturn. It hasn't happened. They've got a good group of players. They've got a great goaltender. They've been through a complete evolution for me in the last 4 or 5 years. And I think it's been really fun to watch. Their scouting continues to just really be good. You know, and they've shown patience. Some of that at times I thought was just a necessity as a smaller market where they're forced to go that path. Mark Chipman has been steadfast on their plans as a president of the club and they're really being rewarded. I thought they were in trouble at the start of last year as an organization. Maybe they weathered that storm. They got their key players signed. The market responded with their good play, and I think they're in a really good spot right now, and I think they have a lot to be proud of.
Lots. We really appreciate your time. God, I wish we could trade places right now because I'm looking at your background right now. And
Friday happy hour in New York City. I bet he'd go down that elevator and have a pretty good time. Just a guess.
I did move recently in New York City. I don't live here all the time, but I moved to a new apartment. I do like the view.
Attaboy. We do as well on your Zoom call.
Yeah, we do too.
Thanks for doing this, pal.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on. Great to see you. Look forward to doing it again sometime in the future if you decide to ask me back.
We'd absolutely love to, Lotz. Thanks,
that
buddy.
Brian Lawton, NHL player agent, general manager.
And real estate pick, tycoon.
First place overall. Pick overall.
Let's talk about that house.
$30 million apartment.
Yeah, what is that view?
Oh my God.
Good Lord. Yeah. I just live here sometimes. Oh, do you?
I think he's done well.
He's doing okay? Good
he's
to hear.
Okay.
Glad to hear that.
Hey, Lotz, you still on the line? Got some money, buddy?
What do you want? Game time, or you want to go to?
Yeah, break? We'll do game time. We'll do a game time.
Let me guess. World Series.
Hold on.
All right.
It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play the odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. And Kipper, you were right.
Let's go.
World Series tonight gets underway. The New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Far cry from the Texas Rangers versus the Arizona Diamondbacks last year. Really, really, really exciting to have these two teams.
This is like not quite Dallas Stars, Edmonton Oilers.
No, this is like, this is, I don't know.
The
large markets.
The cherry on
What's the equivalent? What's the equivalent of that in the NHL?
I mean, it's got to be just New York, LA, doesn't it still? Or is it Chicago, Boston or something?
Chicago, Boston, probably.
They don't want a Canadian team in there, I know that.
Like in the NFL, this would be like getting the Steelers and the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. Like this is as good as it gets for them. So the Yankees are a underdog tonight, plus 110. LA Dodgers, minus 130. It's been a long time since the Yankees have won a World Series. The Dodgers and Yankees have a lot of history in the World Series. I think the Yankees have beat them a lot. Mr. October, is it Reggie Williams that had the 3-home-run game against the Dodgers?
Reggie Jackson?
What did I say? Reggie Jackson? I said Reggie Williams. Whoops, yeah, I meant to say Reggie Jackson. Sorry, guys. I'm young.
That's okay.
I'm a young man.
I know. Yeah, you're right.
I'm a young man.
He had a chocolate bar named after him.
But no, Mr. October, 3 home runs against the Dodgers. Anyways, so I think the Yankees are going to win. And I don't want them to, but I don't really want the Dodgers to win either because of Shohei. I just kind of wish they'd cancel it. If I'm being totally honest, I would want no outcome.
Everyone lay down your arms, form a truce.
The worldwide ratings on this is going to be off the charts.
Yeah, it's going to be massive. It's one of the biggest.
What was the joke you made or someone about the Cowboys? Whoever loses is.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. This is going to be a tough one for Cowboys fans to decide who to cheer for in the World Series.
I like that.
Tonight, Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid going head to head, boys. It's exciting. Future teammates at the Four Nations Face-Off, the captain and probably the assistant captain going to head-to-head. Both these guys like to rise to the occasion. Both of them will be inspired. Give me Sidney Crosby 2 points and Connor McDavid 2 points for plus 450. And the last one I have is the Ottawa Senators against the Vegas Golden Knights. Still up in the air if Linus Ullmark's going to play. He's got to talk to Dr. Seasonoff to see if he can get into the lineup tonight.
Yeah.
But... guys, Senators, maybe decent.
Sennies.
You can score. So give me the value, plus 120 on the Ottawa Senators visiting the Vegas Golden Knights at one of the best arenas in the world.
Going
there
for
a game. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Friday night, the Sens fans will be down there. They'll be greased up. They'll be having a great time. Sens win tonight.
Love
there
it.
You go.
Love it, Sammy.
Yeah. I got some texts, too.
All right. Speaking of Ulmer and goaltenders who've...
By the way, that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, to find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Line. Sorry, forgot to do that.
All good.
Speaking of goaltenders who just need to feel just right, Vladar was in net for Calgary last night. Right. And I don't know if you watched what happened to him, but he wasn't feeling too well towards the latter part of the game. And he broke down a little bit with some cramping. So I've got his comments after the break. We'll have a listen to where the goalie mentality is. And I kind of clipped this probably more for Steve Valiquette than anybody else.
Everyone's got to be perfect.
But let's have a listen to Vladar's comments on cramping when we return after the break on Real Kipper and Bourne.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. As we close out this week, Nick Kiprios and just Sammy McKee, as we let Justin Bourne.
That's a great visual.
Take the rest of the afternoon off as he gets ready for a Halloween party with his kid.
Yeah, he's got to go. I think his wife's away this weekend. He's a good dad. He's a great, he's a family man.
Is he the dad that will put on a costume tonight too?
I don't think. He doesn't strike me as a costume guy. You're a costume guy.
I was, as a kid, yes, but not as a dad.
Well, no, but like, you like wearing a costume. I remember, you know, when I used to listen to you.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a younger man, yes. And I used to like listen to you on Hockey Central and all that stuff. I mean, I remember Kiss. Remember you guys dressing up as Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones. We did Wizard of Oz. We had David Amber as a scarecrow.
Yeah. So, I mean, Thursday coming up this week, this has been a point of contention, actually, with our show, is that you have alluded to the fact that you would like to dress up. And then
I'm over it now.
But then Borny, our beloved coworker Borny, if you could show him again on camera... Hey, he got to dress up this year, Borny.
He's going as a skeleton. Look how thin he is.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's funny.
All right. So before the break, I was mentioning Vladar, who had a good night. I think he had 39 saves. I found it really interesting to hear him talk about cramping up last night.
Yeah, this is one for Valley. So if you want to play that clip for us, Derek, and then we can talk about it after.
I mean, the first 25 minutes I didn't stop, so I was really tired. I skated a lot last couple of days. So tomorrow when I'm going to talk to goalie coach, I'll let him know that it was too much last couple of days because I was really tired. I was cramping up at the end. So that's it. Yeah.
Nothing beyond cramping.
Oh, no, just cramping up.
Last couple of days, too much. I'm tired.
I love that. That's classic. Like,
we just started the season.
Yeah, but I mean,
he's tired.
Oh, he's the goalie. So he's
too much.
He's
the last couple
like,
of days.
Yeah, he's skating like a dog.
Too much.
Too much.
Can you imagine? I could never imagine anybody in my era going up to a coach and saying, "We got to talk tomorrow because it's too much."
Well, I think I actually like it. That's classic. Those like European guys are very dry and they'll just say what's like on their mind. Like think of what Ilya Samsonov used to say in this market, whatever he would be on his mind. He's tired. He's honest. Like, I mean, if they want to continue, they need him to play well. But the thing is, he's the backup, right? Because Wolf's the starter, so he hasn't played at all.
Just
he's tired.
Just a different world.
He's too tired.
Out there.
He's too tired. It's hilarious. Did you want to do some text? I got a bunch.
Something else you want to do
right now?
Anywhere else you want to go?
Did you see this with the Penguins and Jari?
Where is he?
So this is from the Sportsnet website. Penguins send struggling goalie Tristan Jari back to Pittsburgh for individual work. Does this remind you of anything?
Who sent who?
The Pittsburgh
Penguins. No, I know that, but what's it reminding me of? I don't know.
Last year with the Leafs and Samsonov, where he was sent to the minors, but it was not the minors.
To work.
They just sent him to the gulag.
There you go. Seems like a million years ago for me, but this is Kyle Dubas.
Yeah. So Jari is 1-1 in three games for the Penguins with a 5.47 goals against average and an 8.36 save percentage. He's a two-time All-Star.
They gave him $5 million times five, did they not?
I think that was the contract.
A few years ago?
Yeah. That was like the first, when Dubas signed there, that was the first contract that he gave out, I think, was Tristan Jarry, which, you know.
I think we've talked about this, but goaltenders are the only position where if you lose faith in that guy, mm-hmm. you cannot win.
Yeah.
I can lose a little confidence in a number one centerman. A number one defenseman can struggle. There's still enough juice in the room that mm-hmm. you think that you could still win or overcome it
yeah.
with one or two struggles to key guys,
mm-hmm.
but not that guy.
Yeah. And like I said, I wrote Reggie with the numbers. He is in a year 2 of 5 with a $5.375 million cap hit per year.
Buddy, that's just crazy.
That's crazy. Like, I mean, he is a two-time All-Star, like I said, so maybe they hope they can send him.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, no, you don't care about that, but he's been good. He's had good
seasons.
You
can't throw out two-time All-Star when you're begging players to go to it, and people are finding excuses to not want to go.
This is fair.
And you have to pick somebody from a team, and so it's you because that's the open position. It doesn't mean anything when you say he was an NHL All-Star.
Well, I'm just looking at his numbers.
End of the year All-Star, right? Voted All-Stars at the end of the year. That's an All-Star.
Like first team guys.
Playing in the game.
Yeah, you're right.
Is not All-Star anymore.
So
he's a showcase guy. Can we just refer to them as a showcase guy?
But like in 1920 and 2021, he played 33 games. He had a 921. He had a 909 and...
Well, there's something there that led to $5 million.
Yeah, he had a 919 in 58 games. Like, there's something there. This is why goaltending keeps people up at night. Like, is there a more unpredictable position in sports? Like, it's goalies and it's relief pitchers. Like, I don't, what else? You know, you just.
It's a crapshoot.
You just hold on for dear life. Like, you think you hope you got one. Like, look what the Leafs have gotten from Stolarz, who was a career backup, and he's been there, you know, Valaketz, he's been the best goalie through 6 games.
Yeah. And then it's like, is it Cinderella? Is it midnight?
I don't know.
Pumpkin time?
It is Halloween. It's Halloween. I don't know, man. I just, goaltending keeps me up at night. I don't love goaltending.
Yeah. Right. We mentioned earlier about Sid and mm-hmm. Connor.
Yeah.
Rolling out the red carpet for him as the captain.
Love that.
I know we didn't get into it with Lawton, but you have Four Nations. Does it matter?
It does matter.
Yes, I agree.
To be selected to that team matters more than the actual tournament.
It's just, and it's the link to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And I covered the 2016 World Cup. Mm-hmm. Hated it.
I know you did.
Hated it.
I know. But it was, listen.
It was entertaining.
All the best players in the world were together. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Connor and
Matthews.
Our first look at Austin Matthews before he ever played for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some entertainment value there. But to have gone back there and know that Connor McDavid still hasn't played in an Olympic and we didn't know when he ever would be.
It's crazy.
It was just, it made that tournament just feel like it's meaningless. This leads to an Olympic. This is about what's the team going to look like? Who's pushing now? If you didn't have the Olympics in a few years, this one would be looked upon as the same as gimmicky as 2016. Yeah. But this is the lead. I want to see what they envision an Olympic team looking like, because that's the one that they're going to go with on this one. That's why it matters.
Yep. I completely agree. What did you think of Binnington last night? Look like a starting goalie for Canada?
I liked his game.
Me too.
But I liked St. Louis's whole game.
Yeah, they played awesome.
They play big.
Inspired
hockey.
They play
fast. Yeah. And there's no stars on that team.
No. Binnington, you know, he's got that edge to him. And, you know, people, like, they were talking about it, Montembeau and, you know, Aiden Hill. I know Aiden Hill. I have more confidence in Aiden Hill and Binnington than I would in Montembeau. Both those guys have played in huge games. They've both won the cup. At least they have the experience in high stress games. I don't know. But I think it does. It's going to be interesting to see what people think of it when it comes here, but I think it does matter. So, did you want me to give you some text?
Well, we've pumped it up like crazy. Like, see, now that JB's not here, you look so far away from me.
It's, you know what it's like? It's like when you're in an Uber, you're in the back seat, or you're in your friend's car, and there's somebody in the front seat, and then you're in the back, and then you just stay in the back. That's what it feels like right now.
I feel like Johnny Carson right now. You're my Ed McMahon.
Well, but you see on TV, as you look over here, it doesn't look that weird. It just looks like we're sitting at the same table. I know. Anyways.
Do you know who Ed McMahon is, by the way?
Yeah, I do, yeah, I do. I don't know who Reggie Williams is, but I know who Reggie...
Can you say, you are correct, sir?
You are correct, sir.
Can you...
Anything else?
Can you give away $10 million? I think he used to do that.
I would take $10 million. Do you think that Knobloch has a chance of getting fired early in this season like Woodcroft? And if he does, that's McDavid's sixth coach that he's got fired and his seventh coach.
Not a snowball's chance.
I agree.
That this is happening.
Okay.
But I'm sure he feels like Jay Woodcroft felt.
How could you not?
When you started and then led to your demise.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that he's trying to show at least he's not happy with the power play. And at the end, it's probably just going to end up being the way it is still. And it's not going to be that bad. Like, one's going to bounce off of Zach Hyman's ass.
And then they're all going to start going in.
And everything will kind of fall into its place. But it's a big demand on this team, not just getting to a final, but winning a Stanley Cup. And maybe they just got ahead of themselves a little bit and let the dust settle after the first 10 games.
But I think it does show a bit of desperation that you're even considering doing that, and that a coach is probably feeling it a little bit, right? And
no doubt.
It's, you know, just to stick on the Oilers and the relevant to the conversation we had in our release hour.
Did not help, again, last night watching Broberg.
That's what I'm saying.
Come out of the gate and score the first goal against the Leafs and looking every bit of a guy who in a few years could be a number one or two defenseman.
It wasn't just the goal he scored. Like, he set up somebody in the slot where he comes way down below the net. Beautiful pass out in front on the play that Riley high-sticked the goalie on. I loved his game. I thought Holloway looked good. You know, even that Ryan McLeod that they traded, he's off to a good start. I think he's got 4 or 5 goals to start the year. He's fast. He's young. Like, I think the two things can be true situation with them letting Broberg go maybe was the right call, considering they have to pay McDavid, they have to pay Bouchard, they have to pay Draisaitl.
You would have kept him. Outside of worrying about those guys.
So you would have kept Broberg?
You cannot give up on a 23-year-old who is a top 10, and again, talking to a scout the other day, saying that they saw him at the Hlinka way back when, and it wasn't even close about who was the best defenseman in that tournament and had Pronger-like looks. Not from a standpoint that he's ever going to step on anyone's head like Chris.
He's never going to be that mean.
He's not going to be that mean. No. But as far as coverage and reach and all of it, he had that presence.
He's huge. He's 6'4". He's 220-pound guy. Like, he can fire it, skate.
And now he's loaded with confidence.
Yeah. Somebody paid me. They want me here. I'm in a less of a buzzsaw in terms of a market where I can just play my game. Like, God, Doug Armstrong's pretty good at this.
My friend here in New York, slow start to his career.
Yep.
Quentin Byfield, slow start to his career. Mm-hmm. Those guys are now $50, $60 million players.
I see today that Matt Rempe has been sent down to the AHL. I like that move. Give the kid a chance to play. Needs to play and not fight everyone in the NHL like a sideshow act. Thumbs up for me. What do you think?
I like him in terms of what he's shown and brought. I love the element of him, but sometimes things can get a little ahead of you as well.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that they've pushed him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, he's the most popular guy off the ice. There's lineups for his autograph. There's a bit of a cult following here. Kind of mess with you a little bit early. Let him go to the minors. Let him go play some games, get some reps, and keep developing. He's got to keep working on his game so he can be an everyday player.
It's just, we may look back on that Rempe thing. Remember the Jeremy Lin sanity?
Yeah.
Where he comes in and he's just outstanding for the Knicks for, I don't know even how long that was. He turned it into a huge contract with the Rockets, but like an unexpected guy that just took over a sport for however long.
Yeah.
It was a madhouse last year when he came here. It was like at the peak of it. And much like with Jeremy Lin when he came to Toronto, he hit a game winner against him. Like it was a very, very crazy situation. So he's down in the minors now. Are Jake Sanderson and Brady Tkachuk serious contenders for Team USA at the Four Nations Cup? Well, I'll say that Tkachuk is not a serious contender. He's on the team. Jake Sanderson.
Yeah, I'd have to kind of revisit when you think of McAvoy, Fox. When you think of
here, I'll give you the. I'll give you
there's five or six that are pretty much locks.
So here's where I just went on NHL.com, pulled up a quick projected roster. For their decor, looking here right now, they have Fox, Quinn Hughes, Charlie McAvoy, K'Andre Miller.
No.
Jacob Slavin.
No. Jake Sanderson.
Better than Miller.
Agreed. Miller.
Yeah.
Miller's, I get big and strong and can look really good sometimes, but.
Faber?
Not consistent enough.
They have Brock Faber listed here.
Brock's right there as well. And I'd probably have Brock ahead of Jake.
Zach Werenski?
Yeah. Looked pretty good against the Leafs.
God, that's like in their forward that they have listed here. Caulfield, Connor, Eichel, Gensel, Hughes, Keller, Larkin, Matthews, Miller, Robertson, Tkachuk, Trocheck. Not a bad squad, Kippy.
You're nervous about that. Squad.
Listen, we're still Canada, and like I rest my head on the pillow thinking we still have Connor McDavid, we still have Nathan McKinnon, we still have Sidney Crosby, we still have Cale Makar. But you know, I don't know if we talked about this on air or not, or it was off air, but USA's coming here big time. They're coming big time.
Sam, play the percentages.
I know.
Okay.
Why did they have to start playing hockey in Arizona and St. Louis
million,
and
I know. 30 million.
I know.
35 million people.
And they're playing in all these non-traditional markets, right? Like Arizona, it's produced Matthews. Nye's played there. Like St. Louis is producing all these guys.
Everywhere.
California is producing these guys.
You know what's going to shoot out of a cannon, too, is that USHL.
Yeah, 100%.
There could be 60, 100 USHL teams in 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And you just regionalize it. You watch. USHL is going to play for the Memorial Cup.
You think?
Well. Oh yeah, it's coming.
I actually like that.
It's coming.
I wouldn't mind that at all.
There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes right now and it's led by the NCAA opening up their athletes getting paid, but
quickly.
It's gonna look much different in a very short period of time.
I just pulled up this. I'm just interested in this. I just pulled up the projected D-man on NHL.com here for Canada. Evan Bouchard.
Average in defending.
Noah Dobson, Drew Doughty, Cale Makar, Josh Morrissey, Owen Power, Devon Taves. It's not what it once was, Kippy. The forwards are, though. The forwards are.
McGinnis, Coffey.
Well, I mean, think about the 2010 teams. Think about the 2010 team, that blue line. Duncan Keith, Scott Niedermayer, Pronger,
Shea Weber.
Drew Doughty as a rookie. Like, that was a stacked decor. It's just not what it once was, but the forwards are pretty good. So, let's see if I got a quick one here before we go. Show the Jets some love, you slackers.
We did.
I know. We don't show them enough love. They're on fire. They're unbelievable.
I know. Okay, let's get somebody on from Winnipeg.
Yeah, well, we're going to do it on Monday because they're playing the Leafs. So we'll get somebody in the Leafs hour.
And
we'll track down Sean.
I'm going to do a Big Brother program with you tomorrow. I'm taking you to golf.
Oh, you're teaching me how to play. I can't wait.
Are you looking forward to it?
I really can't wait to play. I love fall golf. Bundle up a little bit. The sun will be shining.
Listen, for the record, every hole I'm playing, my ball's going under the leaves, and I get a free lift.
Love it. That's my favorite part of
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a great weekend. Real Kipper and Bourne returns on Monday.